This is Steve D'Agostino.
This is Kieran Achado.
This is TJ Walker, a.k.a. The Daddy.
This is Gino Crandall from the Leicester Riders.
This is Ramon Fletcher.
And you're now tuned in.
And you're now tuned in.
And you're tuned in to the
BBL Show.
BBL Show.
BBL Show.
BBL Show.
BBL Show.
You are listening to episode 34 of the BBL Show. I am Jay Marriott. He is Drew Lasker. How was the last week of the regular season for you, Mr. Lasker?
Man, it's exciting, man. You know, to be able to make it through this unprecedented year is a blessing. And then to make it to my 15th consecutive playoffs, and it all looks exciting. The arena looks sweet. Everybody has migrated to my town. Let's go.
A lot of buzz up there, that's for sure. This episode just had to see us revisit with the legend, Andrew Thompson, to see who the winner of the league predictions were between the three of us. We go with the week scorers and top performers, player of the week nominees, the Lasker look back, and hot topics. See me address the rumors. But first, your social media spy, it's the Marriott Minute. Okay, intrigued me. League news. Left scraping the barrel this week as we followed the league by joining the social media boycott adopted by many sports in protest to the abuse that their athletes and staff receive on all platforms. We hope that the actions of many can have these media platforms finally start to look at how they can limit or eliminate the trolls. The London Lions are joining forces with none other than global superstar Will Smith, as he will launch a Bel Air Athletics line, especially for the club. A dream come true for the Capital Club, who seem to have found a genie.
You ain't never had a friend like me.
To help out these bad boys. Did you see what I did there? Okay, engage me. Continuing a London Lions-themed Marriott Minute, the club announced that their WBBO team are also looking into European action next season. A huge step for the club as a whole and great for the game in this country. I found some beef. Lions captain Joe in IG questions gave a rather juicy answer when asked least favorite team in the BBL and why. The Royals got a mention, no surprise there, but it seems he has some issues with coach Andreas at Bristol, as he cited the Flyers due to his Commonwealth Games experiences that appear to have left him with a bad taste in his mouth. Amused me, Mr. Lasker has once again warmed the vocals up, this time for the BBL playlist. Reppin' Champagne, Pappy Drake. Give him a listen. Next career or too many beers? You decide. Finally, a blog released this week citing a potential new BBL franchise coming to the league, naming me as being involved. Join me in the hot topics if you wish to hear my thoughts on being put in the frame. And that wraps up this week's Marriott Minute. I'm always watching.
You are always watching, my man. I didn't catch that Joe Inc. little episode.
I'm everywhere, man. I'm everywhere, you know?
Aye, aye, aye. Joe, you're going to have to come on the show and explain yourself, sir.
That's right. I've set the scene.
But moving on to scores and ballers of the week. Very quiet week, as there were only four games to close the season, and none of the matchups had no implications on the playoff seedings. So we begin on Wednesday in Manchester, where the Giants played their final game of the season after not qualifying for the playoffs. They go down in a disappointing second half of the season, losing to the Lions 96-86, with Dirk Williams finishing with 23 points and 6 rebounds. Thursday in Bristol, where they host the Eagles in the season finale, the Eagles resting DeFlo and Fletch, while the Flyers set out Teddy O. And Bristol closes out the fourth quarter 86-73, with Eric Lockett finishing with 15-5. The 2020-2021 season wraps up on a Friday with two games in Surrey and Sheffield. First in Surrey, where the Scorchers wrap up their season, nearly missing out on the playoffs. They go down once again to the Plymouth Raiders 100-97. Ricky McGill finishing the season on a high with 31 points and 5 steals. And finally, in Sheffield, the Lions close out the season with the 80-68 victory, Dirk Williams finishes with 20 points, and he also finishes as the league's second best scorer at 18.3 points a game. Congratulations, Dirk. And that wraps up the regular season action, where I actually owe Jay a nice little dinner as he's defeated me in the weekly picks. Thank you to all our content creators and players for playing along with us this season. Had a ball, had a blast, and we'll see you guys back next season.
If you are enjoying this episode of the BBL Podcast, support us on Patreon. Every contribution helps to fulfill our mission to distribute content that educates and inspires. Gifts of any size make a positive difference and are always appreciated.
And great job, Mr. Lasker. We go Player of the Week nominees. We've gone with London Lions, Dirk Williams, 23.6 rebounds, 4 assists for a 25 index. Bristol Flyers, Daniel Edozie with 11 points, 11 rebounds, and 2 assists for a 21 index. Ricky McGill, big night, 31 points, 5 assists, 5 steals for a 31 index. And his teammate, none other than Ashley Hamilton, with 21 points and 8 rebounds for a 25 index. You know what to do. Get your votes in for the last Player of the Week of the regular season. As Mr. Lasker says, I will be warming the menu up at the finals when we catch up. And we're also very, very thankful to everybody so far. Okay, let's get some soul with the velvety tones of the Lasker Look Back.
In this episode of the Lasker Look Back, ironically, we move forward as we brace for May Madness in a 2021 British Basketball League playoffs. 8 teams who all make the journey to Newcastle as Virtue Motors Arena serve as the host on Monday and Tuesday night for the first games of the aggregate tie. The teams will then hop on their coach or private plane to make the journey down south to the University of Worcester Arena for game 2. You can catch all the games in round 1, watch live or on demand on Sky Sports YouTube and BBL Player, then the semifinals and final live on Sky, which will be held in Leicester at Morningside Arena. In the last 9 years of the playoffs, they have been won by 4 teams: Newcastle Eagles, Leicester Riders, Sheffield Sharks, and Worcester Wolves. With an unprecedented year like no other that went a full season with no fans, could the tide change and a fresh name be added to the trophy? Only time will tell, and we will see. And that is your Lasker Look Back.
And great look back as always, Mr. Lasker. May Madness on the horizon. We are very, very excited. Let's get our guest in the room. Former Tiger, Eagle, and Rider. Third time's a charm. It's time to see who won the league predictions. Let's welcome in the room, Andrew Thompson. Let's hope they do a little bit more justice to that in the back. But welcome, mate. How you doing?
Hey, how you doing? I'm good, thank you. And yourselves?
You look looking like Bear Grylls, mate.
Yeah, I've kind of just let it go, you know. I'm still due a haircut, so that'll be next week. But I thought I'd just grow it out while you still can, you know what I mean? Ooh, you still got the hair.
Oh, nice. Mate.
All you need is a headband, mate.
Yeah, I know. I'm back to that length again.
This summer is top knot season for Tomo. You heard it here first, the BBO show.
Is that what you're going for?
By the way, congratulations on becoming a dad. That was huge news. Really proud to hear that. Welcome to the club, my friend.
How are you handling it?
I'm handling it all right. The missus just takes care of everything. I can get to sleep at night. And then, you know, the baby sleeps at night, which is quite good. And then she's awake all day, so the wife deals with that as well. So I'm in, cook dinner, and then I try and put it to bed, and then, you know, my shift's over. So I've kind of got it easy, but it's an amazing experience being a dad, and I'm just learning as I go, day by day.
Amazing, right. Love it. He sounds like he's got it handled, mate. But you know, if you want to call anyone, call Mr. Lasker.
See it in his eyes.
He's got it, man. He's got it under control. Okay, so we are here to revisit our picks. They've come up a time or two during the season. Most recently, we saw that Coach Thomas has been using Mr. Lasker's very low pick as fuel in the locker room. I'm not sure whether that might have any playoff implications. But I've figured out a formula nowhere near as comprehensive as Mr. Routledge, who I'm sure will share a much more comprehensive and mathematical way of figuring this out. But what I did is I took everybody's picks and saw how many we got right. So if we go across the board, Drew Lasker got 3 of his picks correct. In fact, down the bottom was where he had the most success. So he was very good at picking the losers.
I know how to pick a loser.
Which is kind of similar to the other game that we're playing. I'm racing towards a steak dinner as we speak. Tomo is the same. He took 3 picks out of the whole shebang. And then me, sadly, I only got 2 picks correct. So we have a 3-3 standoff. So how I managed to separate you two guys was how many picks that you actually got into the playoffs correctly. Mr. Lasker had 7. Mm-hmm. You got burnt on the Manchester Giants.
God, okay, that
was the one that tricked both of us up. So that leaves Tomo as
8.
Our predictions champion. You got all 8 into the playoffs.
Nice. Yeah.
Needed a little shuffle to make sure he got them right, but he got all 8 in. So congratulations, Tomo. How do you feel? This must be the pinnacle of your career, right?
Yeah, you know, I'm super proud of myself. Obviously, I made that boo-boo at the beginning of the season, picking Raiders coming second, and I don't even know what I was imagining there. But the mid-season shuffle kind of worked out for me, and I just got it right.
Just the ruthlessness of that correction was
basically was everything you needed, right? And yeah, and putting Giants where they deserved. You know what I mean? 10.
Man, so, ouch,
mate. You know, I must
was
say,
riding with the Giants, and
I fell in. I mean, it looked all shiny and pretty, and I got caught.
Yeah,
don't get me wrong. They're moving in the right direction, and they made a change, and I think the coach is very good for them. And next year they'll be very good. You know what I mean? They just needed a bit of structure, and they'll be fine. They just ran out, you know, just made the change too late in the season to really make a dent in anything. But yeah.
I like Coach Gardner a lot. Okay, guys, let's start with Tomo. Who surprised you this season?
The Riders. The Riders surprised me. With all the money being thrown around, you know, we were predicting Lions and Raiders at the top, but you never write Rob off and the Riders. And they've kind of improved over the season. And I think they have, if not the deepest team in the league. And going into the playoffs, they're hitting the right form at the right time. So definitely the Riders, the way they played. And to keep turning over good teams year on, year out and keep challenging, that's a tough ask. So especially with, you know, what the other teams are spending and stuff like that. So I'm picking my team Riders.
All right, good pick. Mr. Lasker?
I'm going to go with, and I hope he's listening, LVC Dusha. This guy's constantly at me on Instagram and on Twitter. And I'm going to give you your just due, Dusha. I'm going to go with the Plymouth Raiders. You know, we can argue that their roster is solid, but I can argue that they probably had better rosters in the past. I wouldn't say this is their all-time best roster. And, you know, the thing about Plymouth that's well known is they just always find a way to screw it up. And, you know, and it looked like it was going to happen this year when they went on that big slide. But credit to PJ, you know, who was sitting on the hot seat. Credit to those guys who dug their feet in the sand. You know, he brought in Mike Morcell, made a couple of changes, brought in Ricky McGill. And they have, since January 20th, they've only lost like a total of 4 games. I mean, they've been rolling and finished 3rd in the league above Newcastle for the first time since being in the league. So shout out to the Plymouth Raiders.
I think I would pick the Raiders as well. Like my one and only mistake, the only thing that Mr. Routledge can knock me for is that I did sort of panic change when we had that opportunity to change where they were going to finish in the season. Just like you guys, they kind of built their season the right way. So it looked like they had all the defensive weapons that they needed, but we were just not sure offensively. And then all of a sudden, like Ricky McGill just kind of started coming to the party. I think tonight he had 31 tonight against Surrey as well, which you would have thought everyone would have been sort of maybe slowing down, but he's trying to keep pace. So yeah, they surprised me. And then obviously, like, they've had a couple of losses. I'll be interested going into the playoffs to see how that affects them. But so far, it hasn't affected them. They made a final. They're not ready yet. They're not ready to take that next step and win, but they've done the next best thing, which is get that experience. And I'll just be interested to see how much of that group they can keep together for continuity and how much they're going to build on, because, you know, apparently Europe is on the horizon. I just hope we're not calling them Birmingham next season. That's all I know. But okay, Tomo, who disappointed you?
I'd say Bristol. I had them higher up in the league, and they were kind of stop start all season. I know they, you know, have had injuries and stuff like that, but some, you know, every other team's had injuries, but they just haven't hit form that I thought they would, and, you know, they just sneaked into the playoff spot in the eighth spot, beating Surrey. So just disappointed with Flyers, really. But, you know, it'll look good for them in the future. The organisation is moving in the right direction. You know, you can't always be trending up. You have to have a blip here or there. So yeah, just Bristol, really.
Mr. Lasker?
I got to go with the Surrey Scorchers, and I think I have the right to be critical of the Surrey Scorchers, just because if anyone has believed in them this season, I think it's been me. I picked them probably 75% of the time on the weekly picks. That was the difference in the weekly picks, by the way, me believing in Surrey. I just felt all year that this team was going to get it turned around. And they did a little bit, but it was a little bit too late. And, you know, just looking at that bubble with all that talent, you know, those guys having an opportunity to train, where a lot of clubs didn't have that opportunity. A lot of guys didn't have the opportunity to work out. I just thought that they were going to use that as momentum for the league, use that to build chemistry. And it's safe to say that they probably had the least amount of chemistry amongst the teams in the British Basketball League this year. And, you know, it just looked really messy all year. And as we remember Creon coming on with the post game show, having that spout, you know, no one forgot about that. But, you know, I really felt like it was going to be the year that they made the turn. And sadly, you know, I think they've gone even further down this year.
Yeah, no, for sure. For me, like, it was kind of an even keel of two picks for two very different reasons. So I could go with the Wolves just because I had so much belief in that season and that group and enjoyed watching them play. But I think a lot of their situation is kind of circumstance, you know, trying to get that cavalry in and then having to take that time to mold. And then Anderson, you know, maybe it was the BBL show curse, sort of comes on the show and then hasn't played since. And then it's come out that Parks is injured. So I think they've just had to deal with a lot. So I don't think they disappointed me, but I expected them to finish higher. But I think for me, it's the Giants. You know, they kind of hoodwinked us a little bit at the start of the year. Right pieces, wrong attitude, maybe. Maybe that's the case. And I think that the learning curve is that I've gone through this as well. So believe me, this is me speaking from experiences, that you can't only just go and get talent. You have to go and get, like, that high character guy as well, you know, because you were looking at Hexham and Brady at the start of the year looked like could easily been in MVP conversations with the numbers that they were putting up, but it just didn't last through the organization. Saying that, I liked all the British pieces. Ulf, you know, has had an incredible finish to the season. Whelan has been pretty consistent all year as well. So it's not all dire. You know, I like Coach Byrne a lot. I speak to him quite a bit, but I do like Coach Gardner. I think he's going to do a great job when he gets his feet under the table. So disappointed just because I picked them a lot higher when they had the squad that was working. And then obviously Garemapour as well sort of came in and that promised to look something, and he kind of went down injured as well. So I'll pick them. MVP talk, just quickly, just really interested, Tomo. Everybody kind of knows where me and Drew are at with it. We kind of have just got it to three now. We made the mistake of having it at six, so we're just going to put it at three. You know, we think that Fletch, General Gino, and DeAndre Liggins are the three to pick from. Who would you go there?
All three have had an outstanding year, but I go with Gino. He's led Ryder back to the top. He's been consistent all year, and some of the highlights that he's put up there just been amazing. But, you know, it's nothing against Liggins. You know, the guy does everything on the court, you know what I mean? He leads Lions. But I've just got to give it to the winner of the league, basically. It's a tough task. He's come in, brand new team, and kind of made it his own team and kind of bossed it from the start. So I've got to give it Gino.
You want to go on your rant, Mr. Lasker? You've done it every time. Don't let me down.
I'm actually going to go for a little U-turn. I'm going to shock the listeners out there and change my pick at the buzzer. And I'm going to go ahead and inch Ramon Fletcher there at the top for MVP of the league. I mean, when you look at it, you know, and everybody knows my case with Gino. I've been on pretty much on his bandwagon pretty much all year, piggybacking what Tomo said. All those things are true. But when you look at it, Fletch has led the league in scoring at not 16 points a game, at 19.2, which is a full point ahead of the next person, Dirk Williams. And then also lead the league in assists with 9.3, which is almost assists and a half more than Gino Crandell. And ultimately, the coaches might still pick Gino, but I wanted to make sure that I show Fletch some love because that hasn't been done since. And I keep forgetting the name who accomplished this feat years and years ago. Dave Forrester would know. But definitely in my 16 years of the league, no one has ever came close. I've seen someone lead it in points and rebounds, and they went on to win the MVP, Andre Smith, for Everton Tigers. But never scoring and assisting. It's just phenomenal. The scoring, that's not really Fletcher's thing, so that's pretty unique. But it's just the assists, just because you have to depend on someone else to score consistently. And to be able to drop nine dimes isn't easy. So right at the buzzer, I'm going with Ramon Fletcher for MVP.
Surprise, surprise. Can I just throw something controversial at you guys as well? So, you know, I said in the last episode, I was talking about the fact that I felt like Gino as well is just a marketable star. Okay. And I went into a bit of a spiel about that. But let me ask you this question, and it's not a criticism at the Eagles at all, but it's more to do with the love that we have for 5 or 6. Is 5 or 6 in Newcastle, is Fletch as big a star as Gino has been this season? The hype is real, don't get me wrong, like as a player, but he has been put there as a marketable piece, I think, because of the magic of 5 or 6 as well. What do you guys think about that?
I think because Fletch has been in the league so long that people have just come accustomed to him just doing what he does. And that's, it's detriment to him kind of potentially winning a war because, you know, it does go unseen what he does. You know, night on, night out, like, you know, the amount of assists that he gets and the scoring, like, he always steps up when he needs to. But that's what you expect from him. You know, he's a 2-time league MVP. Like, he's done this before. So, I don't know. You just kind of
cast over that. He's so good, he's boring.
Yeah, well, he kind of is. He's, you know, you can't keep giving it to him. Like, but if he, you know, he keeps putting up numbers that he is, then he's definitely in with a shout. But I think people just vote just be, you know, for a fresh face. And, you know, Gino's come in and he's a lot different to Fletch with, you know, his highlight reels and stuff like that. So I think that's what will kind of sway the voters, really.
Yeah, that's a great question, Jay. And Ramon will probably get the LeBron James factor in NBA where you get tired of him getting MVP. So you give it to someone else. But that's a legit statement, Jay. If 5 or 6 are in Newcastle, you know, Fletch, not even this season, he's a much bigger star visibly. Just like if someone had won the MVP from Bristol, think about how big they would be. So, you know, maybe that goes to say that Newcastle probably needs to invest a little bit in that part of the club. But yeah, and then also to add on to that with having 5 or 6 there at Leicester is that Gino is kind of outspoken as well. He's on social media a little bit more than Fletch. Fletch is kind of low key and private. So, you know, all that stuff matters.
Mm. Yeah, I think like the reason why I bring it up is I do believe that this season is that turning point. And, you know, of course, you know, I feel like Leicester and Bristol are really leading the way on that side of things. But just because of the pandemic, we've needed it more. And now I think we've realized just how much, you know, that can give a visual to the game, you know, how much it's moved the game on this year. So, yeah, interesting question for you guys. Well answered. Playoff predictions. Let's just talk about quarterfinals over the weekend. You know, we obviously know we're all on this social media boycott. The BBL show is supporting the league in doing that as well. So there's not going to be as much attention on it, but I feel like it's some really exciting matchups. I just want to kind of go through these matchups. You guys just very, very quickly give me who you think's going to win. Let's start with the Riders versus Flyers matchup. Who are you going with, Tomo?
I've got the Riders comfortably over two games. You know, that they're hitting top form right now, going into the playoffs. I think we've got everyone back healthy. So I think they'll, you know, sweep Bristol aside quite easily.
Mr. Lasker?
Yeah, I'm right there. I predict Leicester wins this aggregate 30 points plus. Bristol just won't be able to score enough points. We played Bristol last night and played pretty much our bench the whole game. And, you know, they barely scored 80 points. So, you know, they were missing two of their guys as well. But, you know, that's been Bristol's issue all season. They just can't score enough.
Yeah, for sure. Lions versus Phoenix, Tomo?
Lions. I have been impressed with Phoenix. Ben Thomas is, you know, like I said at the beginning of the season, you know, he will put a good team together, given time. And he has done that. He's picked up some good pieces, and they've turned some heads in victories and stuff like that. So, but I can't see him over two legs to beat Lions. They might sneak him on one game, or it might be close. But I think the Lions make adjustments and they'll pull away in the second game quite easily.
Love it, Mr. Lasker.
Yeah, Lions. Like Tomo said, there's no way that Cheshire can beat these guys over two games. If it had been a one-off in Cheshire, I would have gone with the upset, because Cheshire played London very well there in Cheshire Oaks twice this season. But it's at a neutral venue in Worcester and Newcastle and London to be locked in, knowing that there's silverware on the line.
Yeah, I mean, I see the Riders as cut and dry. The other three games, you know, I still think there's some interest there, but I wouldn't bet against the Lions. So Lions for me as well. Okay, Raiders versus Worcester Wolves. Tomo?
I'm going with Raiders. I think that, you know, they're playing decent basketball at the moment. So, you know, rolling into the playoffs, I think they'll be fine over the two legs against Wolves. They're playing at Worcester, aren't they? One of the legs, is it?
Yeah.
Is that how it's working? So, you know, that might help them. But I think Raiders' defense is good enough to kind of to stop Wolves and they'll progress.
Mr. Lasker?
Yeah, I'm going with the Raiders. You know, I won't try to pull any tricks with this one, but, you know, Raiders are 100-0 against Worcester this season. They're 80-0 at Worcester Arena. So that's like home court advantage to them. And without Mike Parks, you know, potentially missing two Americans because Anderson is still a question mark, although I saw something on social media that he'd be returning, but he's missed too much time to catch any rhythm. And you know, it's just a little bit too late. And, you know, Raiders pulled this one off pretty easily.
Yeah, without the injuries, you know, I think it's much, much more closer to call than that. But I think without Mike Parks especially, you know, they struggled when they lost NBA and Mike Parks was trying to find his feet, and they really only have those two bigs. So a lot on Jordan's shoulders now. And I think that Raiders kind of frontline size, you know, if you see that Hamilton's moving down to the four every so often, big bodies throwing them at Jordan, I think they get that win. Okay, finally, Eagles versus Sharks. Tomo?
This is an interesting one because, you know, Sharks in the past, they finish around mid-table, you know, they kind of go under the radar, they're not flashy, they're just blue-collar, just get on with it, and they'll find a way. And they've done it before, they've turned over the Riders a couple of years ago, I think it was 2016, 2017, or when it was. Mike took, you know, came out with MVP in the final. And I can see that happening, but I'm going to have to go with the Eagles. I've got it. They've got...
Oh, he set it up.
I know, but just over two legs, you know, Sheffield might be able to do it over one, but over two, I can't see it. But then people got Eagles' game plan now, you know what I mean? You just got to stay with them for three quarters and then kind of grind it out in the fourth, and Eagles don't have the legs, I don't think. But I'm going to go with the Eagles. I'm going to back them. But this will be a close one. This is a toying cost for me. So, but I'm going to Eagles.
Mr. Lasker, you have got the inside take here. So I'm interested. I'm listening. I'm all ears.
I was glued to Tomo's little soliloquy. You better had gone with the Eagles. But no, Tomo is right. Out of all four games, this is probably the closest one out of all the four. Like you said, Sheffield, they just, for some reason, they just go under the radar all season and you take them for granted. 2 years ago, they were able to knock us out the first round and move on. But this year is a little bit different because they have our attention this season. I think, you know, they're one of three teams to beat us twice. And, you know, we played them in back-to-back weeks
and they pretty much handled us pretty easily, which kind of knocked us out of the league contention. So they have our attention. Also, we're traveling once, they're traveling twice. And I just would like to think that Fletch and Gordon is not going to let us lose this game. So obviously I'm going with the Eagles.
Yeah, I think look, it's probably going to be the most boring playoff predictions in the history of the game, because I'm going to back Eagles. I just see some inconsistency in that Sharks team over two legs. That's the problem. They could show up in one, and they've got all the weapons there, but for whatever reason, there's just some very odd rhythm problems throughout the game. And I think over two legs, I think the Eagles get it done. And I'm with you, Drew. I think, you know, I'd add Cortez Edwards into that mix as well. I think that those three are really the spine of that team. You know, when it's time to stand up and be counted, I still think Gordon's got some stuff in the tank, you know, since his injury, he's kind of dropped off the radar, but I still massively rate him and think he's still got a lot to give. Okay, who wins it all, Tomo?
Oh, the Riders.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm going with Leicester. No offense to Eagles. I think it'll be quite comfortable for them. I don't think your tempo, your style of basketball, and you're not going to be able to sustain that over two legs, and their strength and depth is, you know, it'll kind of weigh in on you. And then it will be an interesting final, because I think I'll have London and Riders, but yeah, I think Riders will come out on top.
Mr. Lasker.
I mean, we might as well move on to you, because everyone knows that I'm going to pick us. But I will give you a surprise pick. I will say that it will be us and the Plymouth Raiders in the final. I say Plymouth Raiders makes the shocker over London. You know, Plymouth is a team that they didn't forget about that trophy final. And, you know, although they're missing eBay, it just seems like they haven't really missed a beat. I was really worried about Ubiaro missing, but, you know, as next man up, you see Elias Sinton's getting more minutes and he's playing well. So I wouldn't be surprised to see Plymouth turn over London.
Nice. I like that. I like the way that sounds. Yeah, it's tough for me. I think Riders as well are going to win it all. I think it's a coin toss between that Raiders and Lions. Like, honestly, I think that is going to be an absolute battle, because like you said, Drew, you know, Raiders are not going to forget the hurt of that situation. And the Lions, like, it's so frustrating, because like, I don't like what I see. Like, there's a lot of fight and friction with what's going on with that team, but they're still winning, you know? So you can see it. You're looking at Coach McCauley and Liggins are at each other. And we saw the stuff with Ware and Liggins, and it just is a very weird dynamic that is actually working. But I go Riders. I've really enjoyed watching them all year. And I think they've got the depth and they got General Gino. Okay, Coach of the Year. Let's finish towards that. Coach of the Year. Tomo?
It sounds like I'm just riding the Leicester Riders bandwagon here. But
well, you are. It's okay. It's fine.
I am. But
I'm probably going to do the same.
One, but I'm going to have to go with Rob, because, you know, what he's done this year. Obviously, you know, winning the league is not—it's never easy to do that. You know, consistency. You know, game on, game out. You know, and then, you know, with the budget they've had this year, I've been told it's not been the greatest. You're always told that every year, even when it comes down to negotiate contracts, and it's just BS. But saying that, we know that Lions and Raiders had a massive budget, and to, you know, to come out on top and beat those guys has been, you know, commendable, really. So, you know, he builds championship teams each year. So, and I don't see him stopping anytime soon. So I've got to give it Rob.
I had a quick question there before Miss Alaska takes over. Like, what's the most important competition? What's the most important trophy available? The league?
Yes, because I'm from England and you should win the league and it's the most consistency. But then it's never nice to go out losing, is it? And I've never lost a playoff series, so it's great in the playoffs. But yeah. I'd say the league. You're the most consistent team. You are the best team, but I'd say the league.
I like it. Okay, Mr. Lasker, Coach of the Year, and what's the most important comp?
Yeah, I like Tomo. I got to go with Rob. I mean, if we had this conversation at the beginning of the season, I think we would say, if London didn't win the league, the team that won it, probably that coach would get Coach of the Year, because, you know, let's not forget. I mean, it's a level playing field now, but, you know, 7 months ago, it was a lot of hype around this London team. It was a lot of excitement. It was, you know, there was talk about this could be the best team ever, the best defensive team ever in the league. You know, I was
should have been.
Yeah, you're right. And, you know, even I went on a cliff and made some comments like that. And to look 6 months down the road and the Leicester Riders winning the league and make London look, I wouldn't say like an average team, but they made them look like a BBL team. And that was the thing. They weren't supposed to be a BBL team. They were supposed to be a European team. And so with that said, I got to give it to Rob, you know, to be able to win the league, not only over London, but to do it with four new starters this year is pretty impressive.
Yeah, for sure. Most important comp to you?
Oh, I mean, you know, I'm obviously from America, but, you know, since I've been in this league for 16 years, you know, I have appreciation for the league title just because in the playoffs, you know, a team could get hot. You know, you could have injuries. It's a lot of things that factor in. Now, it would be the playoffs if we had a series in the UK, but it's an aggregate. So I don't put much weight behind that. And over the course of the season, you deal with so much adversity and the team that can pretty much stay consistent throughout all the year, you got to say is the best team.
Yeah. So trifecta here, I'm going with Coach Rob as well. And I think all the reasons that you guys have given, but also as well, like this is an unprecedented, like historic time. You know, he's had to navigate, not only has he had to navigate the London Lions and Plymouth Raiders coming in with the big bucks and saying, we're ready to challenge. He's also had to take on the pandemic. You know, that has presented huge, huge challenges for everybody. So whoever has stayed consistent through the pandemic just deserves a round of applause. So I think, you know, that doesn't just go to Coach Rob, that goes to the Riders as an organization, how they've handled things. And then from a comp perspective, I think the league as well, because to have that level of consistency, I think is the hardest overall. Like you said, the other competitions, you can just get hot. Would love to see us strongly look at those playoffs and see how we can change that structure and make it just a little bit more exciting. I don't think any of us really get excited about an aggregate, and it's always been that way. I don't think anyone's ever been like, I'm delighted about that and think it's a great thing. I think we should save it for football. So yeah, guys, that's it. You know, we are here on a Friday night at the moment. So Mr. Lasker is on demand for movie night. We've had a time constraint. I feel like we have met that time constraint. Tomo, thanks so much for coming back on. Congratulations.
No, thanks for having me.
You're a dad now.
Yes, sir.
You should feel a bit more comfortable in the room.
He's actually screaming downstairs. I don't think you can hear it. But
no, I can't hear a thing. So that's Tomo's way of saying, can we just carry on, guys? Can we just keep going?
For another 15 minutes, she might drift off. You know, you never know.
Let's keep an eye on these playoffs. Tomo, I'm sure before the end of the season, you will make some sort of appearance at the BBL show, but we appreciate it. We've got you three times a charm. I think we've explained our way through the league. Congratulations again, Tomo. Highlight of your career. He's still a winner, even with the boots hung up. So,
exactly.
Thanks for your time, brother. All right,
absolutely.
We'll speak to you soon.
Thank you. No,
thanks,
thank you,
brother.
Guys.
Cheers, mate.
Peace.
Okay, great wrap up there with Mr. Thompson. He continues to be a winner, even in retirement, which is most annoying, especially hurts my competitive spirit. Okay, hot topics. Time to address the rumors. It's been rumored that I am headed to Gloucester to run a BBL franchise under the name of the Giants. I'm not going to say too much. I am taking a new role. It is in Gloucester and it will be in sport. And there is an aspiration to have a BBL franchise. Not next season and definitely not called the Giants. So watch this space and watch 5 or 6. They may have a role in this as well.
Ooh.
That's it from me. As always, thank you for listening to us here at the BBO show. May Madness is in full effect and we are in playoff mode. So keep your eyes peeled for some level up moments from us at the show, including a grand finale. We will speak to you soon. Drew, lead us out.
You just forgot to do one thing, man. You should have just dropped the mic after that, man. That would have been so fitting. But congratulations, my man. I'm so happy for you. This is real exciting. And yeah, like you said, I'm just watch this space to our listeners out there.
You know where the exclusive is going to drop. So be ready, guys. Be ready. And Pete, I'm really sorry, brother. I'm pulling you into this as well. So we're getting down and dirty.
What a year it's been, guys. And again, as we move to the playoffs, again, we want to thank all our listeners out there, supporters, for following us this season. 34 episodes has just flown by. Jay and I had a blast. And now we look forward to the playoffs where we got some exciting things up our sleeve. And like my man Jay said, just watch this space. We'll see you guys next week. Same place, same time here on the BBL show.
The show.
Thanks for listening to the BBL show. The BBL show is a 21 Media original podcast produced by Corey Mallory with your host, Jay Marriott and Drew Lasker. Keep up to date with the show by following the BBL on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram, where you can find details on future episodes, events and fan interaction. Until next time.